And we are live. I say we are live. I'm used to saying we're live with the live stream, but we are live recording now. So welcome back, everybody, to session number two with Danielle Jinx. Danielle, how are you?
I am fantastic.
So
how are you, Ben?
I'm doing really well. It was fun. I got, we put the first episode out there. And thank you for those who have engaged and responded to the social media posts, and for those folks who have downloaded and listened. And of course, this is a little bit new, a little bit of an experiment, but I'm really excited about it. It's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun listening back to the episode, and I don't know, Danielle. I'm going to hand it over to you, because one of the things we're trying not to, by the way, just to kind of preserve things for the audience, we've been on minimal contact. It's just kind of been like text messages here back and forth. And part of that's because I want to keep everything a little raw, if you will. So, with that said, Danielle, one of the things that you mentioned were some in hearing it back. Which has got to be kind of weird, isn't it?
It was weird, Ben. I was like, oh, that's my voice. I need a new microphone. Yeah, we could be so critical of ourselves when we hear ourselves back. But it was good to hear it.
Yeah, and you were mentioning that there were some things that stood out to you. Yeah. And I said, well, I'll hold it and let's talk about it. Let's start this week with a little bit of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? What did you think hearing back, and what were some things that you noticed and maybe wanted to explore a little more?
You know, you're funny, Ben. You're going straight in host of a talk show mode, professor, doctor almost. I mean, come on, dude. This is, you know how this works. This is not about Danielle and Danielle's reflections.
I know, but I am curious what you thought.
Yeah. So, you know, okay. So because you're the client here, I'm going to go ahead and humor you. I would say, one, it was great to kick the tires, you know, and this is a global show, so I'll be more explicit in my definition. It was really good for us just to have a conversation about you, about what you want to accomplish, what coaching is, what it isn't. So it was good from that perspective. It was also good to hear how many things came out of that session. Ben, I tell you, I'm glad it's me coaching you. Because you could spend hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Why are you saying
just
that I'm
from
mental?
That one session, that one session, there were so many things in there that we could have built into multiple sessions. I mean, we could have gone on for hours. It could have been a major marathon, which is all good stuff, right? Because we have now so many things we can explore together, which you will dictate which direction we go in. But one thing that really was prevalent to me is your commitment to this satisfactionist lie, and how important it is to you, and where it falls in the priority list. And we ended the conversation with you saying, huh, as it relates to this satisfactionist lie, who is my customer? And it was really good to see you get to that place in our session, which was, I need to think about this. Where we started, you had a goal of you wanted to have some more intriguing content. Where we ended was, I need to find out who this content is for. And I think that was a breakthrough moment. But that's Danielle. That's my editorial. I would really like to hear what you thought.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny because when I think about that, I still don't necessarily feel like I'm going to go after this thing with the notion of trying to hit my target demo. I feel like I'm still going to go after the topics and the things that most interest me, and kind of leave it at that and hope that it interests other people as well, that you know, it's intriguing stuff. But you know, I'm not trying to make any lists, although I'm sure I'm on a few people's. but I'm not trying to do anything like that. Rather, just put some things out into the world that I think are going to be positive conversations, and help to further the understanding of different things. I think I wander around the world a lot of times, very curious about things, and I ask a lot of questions, and I make a lot of statements. But you know, I'm always kind of seeking more knowledge and seeking understanding. And I think the thing that really kind of I don't want to say bothers me. I guess it does bother me though. Is I think sometimes people see my level of curiosity, and you know, I'm always like chiming in weird facts about things just because I find through my discovery of you know, going out there in the world and just looking things up and doing research, you know, I find things out. And I think a lot of people think I know a lot of stuff, and I really don't feel like I know anything at all. And so I'm going to continue to make a show that is about me, you know, wondering about stuff. Because there's just like so much to learn. I work in the wine industry, and specifically work with Italian wine. And Italian wine has to be some of the most diverse, complex, unique, historic wine. The country is a just amazing melting pot of history. And I feel like I'm such an idiot sometimes when I talk to my colleagues, because and everybody has they don't all have the same level of knowledge, and they have different knowledge. But I listen to some of their conversations sometimes, and I'm just like, I just don't feel like I am there when it comes to that stuff. And I get it. I mean, they've learned it over time, and you know, it's been a much more focused part of their lives much longer than it has mine. And so, of course, I'm going to have to catch up. But I feel that way a lot with a lot of things. Like I don't feel like an expert of anything. I just feel like I go and find out stuff from a lot of different places and people. Yeah. And that's kind of why I enjoy doing the show.
Yeah. Question for you, Ben.
Yes.
If you look back, let's see, let me go back far enough. I'm not trying to age you at all. Trust me.
That's fine. I don't care.
Let's go back 20 years.
Okay.
And tell me in our audience here, like, how many projects or how many things have you exposed yourself to, different things, or not different, but the last 20 years, what have you done? What?
you know, I've done a lot. And I say I've done a lot because there was a good 8 years just in my time at Coca-Cola when you and I were both working together. We mentioned Adrian in the last time, and I worked for Adrian for like 8 years. And in that time, I think I regularly had no fewer than 15 projects going on at the same time, and sometimes upward of like 23, 25.
Okay.
And it was always with, always with different customers, but there probably isn't a fast food chain, hotel, restaurant, airline, cruise line, department store, grocery store that I didn't work with that everybody knows. And
here's a test. Ralph's?
So Ralph's is owned by Kroger. So yes.
Just testing. Just want to throw that in.
I worked with a lot of, I always say it's like Disney, Delta, McDonald's, Burger King, Target, Walmart, Dollar General, well over 200 customer, like top retail places and stuff. So yeah, I've done a little something with a lot of different companies.
Yeah.
But 20 years ago, I was probably just starting that journey.
Yeah.
I've been in consumer packaged goods for over 25 years. And it is interesting when, even in the wine industry, when we talk about on-premise versus off-premise sales, like a big part of what I do in my job today around data analytics is kind of understanding one category, category marketing and stuff like that, but sales analyst volume. And this industry just works so much different than Coca-Cola. It's a three-tier distribution system, lots of laws, lots of regulation. And when I am sitting in meetings and we start talking about calling on bigger businesses, chain business and things like that, like I immediately understand that process of calling on customers and presentations. And one of the things you always hear at Coca-Cola is what is the value proposition? And I always think of the value proposition, those are the things I really love, the sales, marketing, operations, data analytics. Those are things that really kind of get my motor running.
Yeah. And in this past 20 years, you didn't call it out yet, but you've also instructed courses and taught to students.
Yeah, I have
as well.
over 50 courses that I have taught. 50, and whether it's management, project management, marketing, sales, organizational behavior, leadership, entrepreneurship, all kinds of different stuff. So yeah, over 50 different courses. And since 2006, I've pretty much been working nonstop. There was one year, I don't think it was even a full year, maybe a full year, when I first moved out to California, where I didn't have any teaching going on. But since 2006, I've been every fall, summer, and spring, I've been teaching.
Wow. And in the midst of that, you managed to complete a doctorate.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, yeah. If I had some special effects and balloons and things of that nature, I'll be like, my goodness, I'll be celebrating you right now. But I am celebrating you.
Yeah, but so here's what's crazy, though, is, and I think, I mentioned this to you when we were talking before we started doing this, sitting down. I still don't feel like I've done much. And I know that sounds weird after what we just said, but I don't, maybe because in the moment it doesn't feel like what it is, and it's only after you take a moment to, like, you know, catch your breath and look behind you and you go, oh wow.
Yeah.
But then I look ahead and I'm like, oh, there's so much more to do.
Yeah. So I asked you that for a reason, but I'm gonna put a pin in what we just went through.
Okay.
Right. And I want to pivot for just
your polite way of saying enough about you.
No, not at all. Oh, we're not teasing. We haven't even scratched the surface. Come on, Ben. But I want you to tell me then tonight, in these, you know, next 40 minutes, whatever that number is, after we end our session tonight, what one thing would you like to have completed? Or in this session, what do you want to focus on today?
That's a good question, because I've been thinking about this as we were, you know, kind of leading up to this week and doing this recording. Let me say this. I'll start with what is kind of really bothering me right now. What is really bothering me right now is I have gone almost a month since doing a live stream, and it is just irritating the heck out of me that I have not had the opportunity to do that, because I wish I had more time to, like, in my mind, there are some research papers I've read recently, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to reach out to this author and see if they'd want to do the show. But then I've got this so much thing. It's crazy. I mean, we're getting ready to kick off a semester. I have a few late start classes that we're doing. And if I haven't been consumed with this major project that I'm working on right now for work, which has been, you know, taking up a good amount of time, then I'm doing the school thing. And as we discussed last time, those two things have to come first. I mean, and the show is always going to be third, but I'm antsy that I haven't done it. I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't done it. And thankfully we're doing this because this is at least something.
Yes.
But the content well is dry, and I hate that. Like, I have nothing in the hopper. I have nothing lined up. I have nothing scheduled. And on one hand, I want to keep reaching out to panelists and say, you know, introducing topics and, you know, inviting people to come on. And I hate that I'm inconsistent.
Yeah.
It bugs the hell out of me. So, that's where I'm at right now. And I wish I could say that coming out of this session, I want to have clarity on how to attack some of those things, but I'll be honest with you, I've still got probably a good 2 or 3 weeks of some heavy lifting to do. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to focus on those other things, you know, like I want. And I can spend 12 to 15 hours in this little room, my office here. And I could do that for 6 days a week and half of that time on Sunday and still not feel like I've gotten caught up to where I want to be. Like, there's so many things that I want to do, from more content, more merch, merchandise ideas that I want to put on the store that I have running.
Yeah.
More shows that I want to do, more panelists that I want to grab, more people I want to reach out to. But all of that can't happen because I have to make sure that I get these other things done.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, that's the torturous thing right now, is not being able to do as much as I want. But I will not fall behind on those other things because they are a bigger priority.
Right, and because we discussed priorities last week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so you're a data guy. And your time is valuable to me and to yourself. So coming out of this, what would be tonight the measure of success? Like, we get off this call and you're like, yes, that we did that.
Well, I will say this, and it sounds a little small, but it is something. We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Content is being created, and there's a little bit of relief, because I feel like I'm going to be able to put something out there, and that feels good. Like, you know, it's a little something. It's not as much as I want, but it's every small, even if it's 1%, it's 1% more than it was.
Yeah.
So I'm not elated, but I'm satisfied.
Hence satisfaction.
You're right.
How do you like that? So your measure is the power doesn't go out, that we continue taping today. That's your measure of success for tonight, is that we do this.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel good about that.
Right. And how important is this to you, to do making this happen tonight?
Oh my God. I will say this, that earlier today we were exchanging, because we thought we were going to do this maybe Monday. And then you've got a lot of time booked coming up. And I said, what about tonight? Like, you know, I was really looking forward to it, because I'm like, yes, we get to like get together again. And plus I generally enjoy talking with you. So,
ditto.
It's always fun.
Same here, Ben. I wouldn't be spending this hour with you if not. So getting back to what I think a goal is, and I just want to clarify, you said if something's bothering you, that it's been a month since you've done a live stream and you wish you had more time. You feel as though your content is dry and, you know, you threw the word in there, inconsistent. I don't necessarily hear a goal in there unless there's something else in this 1 month of not doing a live stream.
Well, you know, it's funny, because right now my goal, and you know, this is part of, I think, just what happens, but my goal is not, and I hate to say this, but the goal hasn't been making the show better. My goal is to get through these projects that I've got going on that are not the show, that are, like, you know, the real life stuff that needs to happen. And I feel very good about progress that I'm making on things that are outside of this. But, you know, there are a lot of times when I think to myself, it's like, man, I wish I had somebody as committed and jazzed about doing this show. Like, I need a good producer.
There's something tangible.
Somebody I can collaborate with, and you know, and they don't mind being a part of this and working for nothing. I guess what a sell that is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Have you reached out, or have you explored that as an opportunity, as a potential opportunity for you?
You know, I don't think I've ever flat come out and asked somebody. And okay, why haven't I asked somebody? So,
you're a mind reader now. You have a new
talent. One of the things that I kind of hold on to, and is I do like the collaboration aspect of things, but I also need to have a level of control around it. Like, there's a direction that I want it to go, and I don't know, quite honestly. Again, here's the proposition. I want you to work entirely for free. I want you to listen to what I have to say and the direction we want to go. I do want to hear what you have to say as well, but we primarily want to hear what I have to say. And you know, that's the pitch. Like, you get to do work to try and build something that you don't have a whole lot of control over, and you don't have any monetary compensation for it. That's not a very good sell.
So how do you know that? How do you know that's not a good sell?
because I would find it difficult to buy into that.
Well, Ben, considering a man who has spent the last 20 years working with some of the largest companies in the world, someone who has taught over 50 courses and I don't know how many students, I hope you would not do it for free.
Hey. Right. Well, and that's the other thing. Like this is really just truly, it's following something that is an interest and a little bit of a passion for me. I do it because I love talking to new and interesting people. I love exploring, you know, topics and ideas. But at the end of the day, I mean, I will say, I think what's very challenging is finding somebody who you not only gel well, like the chemistry is good, but they also can carve out the time. And at some point your calendars can sync up.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. So one thing that I want to do tonight, and I told you I wasn't going to tell you what to do, but I would like for you to permission. So I want us to get really focused.
Okay.
Okay. And what I mean by that is really getting to the crust of what you want to accomplish. There are a lot of things on your plate. Clearly. But I want to really understand and sort of narrow our conversation a bit. So your definition of success, yes, to do this tonight, that's fantastic. And we're here. But I also heard in your response back to me is that you're bothered by the fact you have not produced content.
Yeah.
And if you are bothered, let's talk about being unbothered, if that's what you desire.
Yes, because I do need to get focused on it. And I do need to get, it's not that it's out of focus. It's just nothing is being done. And I tend to be a doer. And so when there are things on the list and no traction is being made, it bothers me.
Yes. So I'm going to play back a couple of things because you know I'm good for that.
Yes, you are.
I've heard should, must, have to, should do. Who said?
Well, I said. That's the thing about being self-motivated, Danielle, is that if you don't tell yourself to get your ass in gear and do something, nobody else is going to tell you.
Yeah, but you're not doing it.
Well, so,
here we go again, Ben. Here we go.
No, I'm not doing it. Did you hear me? I'm busy with other things.
Okay, you're busy with other things. Got it. You have two to three weeks, you said, of heavy lifting to do.
Yeah.
It's not a long time.
No, it's not. Two to three weeks. But when you compound that with the fact that it's been like a month, now I'm like 7 weeks out, and that to me is like, that's a long time.
Who's counting?
I'm counting. I'm a data person, Daniel. I'm always counting.
Okay. I'm just waiting for the hook here.
that's kind of the problem is that, you know, I don't know what, when you say you're waiting for the hook, I don't know.
Yeah, because here's the thing, Ben, you're setting your deadlines, mm-hmm. right? You said that you're the one who's dictating what you should do or have to do. And what my question is where's this pressure coming from? And you said it's coming from you. You're self-motivated.
Yep.
what I am seeking to understand is why the pressure? Where is it coming from?
That constant, how do I say it in a way that doesn't sound, you know, a little, ridiculous, but, it's
the way Ben would say
it's the constant fear of failure that motivates me to not want to stop doing stuff. Because I, you know, my feeling is like, if you stop, you know, it's not that you won't get started again, but I just don't like to stop. I don't like to not be making momentum, moving things forward. Because, you know, I, like many people, I've suffered those ebbs and flows, right? I love the flow. I hate the ebb.
Yeah. So it's the constant fear of failure.
I mean, I think failure is a huge motivator. You know, and so I constantly, you know, draw from that. And I don't think a failure is bad, by the way. I think you know, I often say that if you don't have passion, you haven't failed enough.
So you got a pen and paper, and this is good for your audience too. I'm going to give you a formula because you like data, you like stuff, you like numbers. Let me give you a formula.
Okay.
So the formula is, and then I'll tell you what it means in a moment. I want you to write down a P plus B, the greater than symbol, F plus E. So let me tell you what it stands for in a minute. So when people ask me, how do I create momentum? How do I, you know, get people to change? Or how do I influence people to change? Well, number one, you can't influence or you can't make anyone change. You can attempt to influence it, but it's up to that person.
Right.
So I, as your coach, I can't make you do anything. And here's why. P stands for pain, which means the pain with current state, their relationship with where you are right now, and any kind of pain, and pain could be physical, it could be mental, it could be whatever, plus the benefits of doing something different, which is the B, has to be greater than the fear. I'm sorry, it was F, yeah, fear associated with doing, I told you this is this formula, the fear associated with doing it, plus the effort. So what I'm saying is, if you are looking for behavior change, your current state has to be so uncomfortable, so painful, and the benefits of that new, or whatever it is, your project that you're trying to accomplish, has to be far greater than the fear of making it happen and the effort. So I'm going to stop talking, and I want to get your reaction to that.
So, I'm wondering if, the, the reason there's no pain is because it ranks third amongst other leading things. If I was, falling behind on those other things, and I've been putting in a lot of focus and energy to kind of make sure that I'm not falling behind on those other things, I'll put it to you this way. If I was falling behind on my primary or secondary work, which is the wine number one, the wine work and you know, the school stuff that I do, then I wouldn't even be worried about the show. Cause I'm like, it's like there's no time for that. I've got to get these other things done. And quite honestly, I mean, that's kind of why it's been shelved lately. Yes, I would love a collaborator because I feel like that would kind of prod me into doing more. But as long as I have this bigger list of things, I will do those other things. And I mean, you know, I can and I do, and I've done this often, and people always like, you're crazy when I say things like this, but like I can go until 4 a.m. and not even think about the fact that it's 4 a.m. by the time I go to bed, doing stuff. And stuff meaning, you know, like there have been a couple nights when I've been really wrangling with this thing that I'm building for work. I don't think about it. Like there are people who will look at the work that they do and they count the days and they count the hours. And there's like a limit for them of how many days and hours that they will put in before they say, I've done too much. I've never really hit that with things I do because the way I see it is the work just needs to get done. And we can complain about, we feel all we want about it later, but there's a task that needs to be done and we just need to get it done. I will continue to work because I don't want to miss a deadline. And those deadlines for those other things, for the work and, you know, for the school stuff, like those are absolutes.
Yes. So we got the pain identified, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Right. So for creating content for the Satisfaction is Live, can I ask, do you see the benefit? Do you see the B in doing it?
I do, because I mean, there is a benefit to doing it. So here's the thing. I mean, is there a monetary benefit? You know, am I getting, I'm not making anything. I mean, you know, it's virtually little, which is fine because I'm not in it for the money. I mean, yeah. I'm in it for the joy of doing it. The benefit is, you know, putting some, you know, for me, it's putting content out there, putting something that I made out there. And hoping that people appreciate it. Not everybody does. Not everybody likes it. Not everybody wants to hear it. And that's fine. Like, I'm okay. But every once in a while, like I did a show about mariachi music. I mentioned this before. And I had this gentleman reach out to me from Mexico. And he's, a music scholar and historian. And he, you know, sent me some information. We exchanged some emails and he sent me some really nice information about, you know, the African-American indigenous roots that contributed to mariachi music. I had no idea. Wow. Like, and it's like, I would have never had that engagement or that interaction had I not been doing this. Met
how
a wonderful
cool is that? Who, you would not have had that connection had you not put yourself out there, right?
Right.
And done that, which is a huge benefit, right? To meet different people from all over.
Well, yeah. I mean, Karen Stalsno, who has been on the show twice now, she's a linguist. I was reading Psychology Today online, and there was this article that she wrote that was rather interesting about politically correct language. And I just reached out to her and was like, hey, I would love to talk about this. And then, you know, we met and talked, and then she is co-host of another podcast, and her co-host came on, and, you know, we did an episode about their podcast, and come to find out, he lives here in Georgia.
Wow. Another story.
Yeah. I mean, but these are the, to me, these are the really cool, interesting connections. that you make with people,
yeah,
by just putting yourself out there and doing stuff. And that's the stuff that's what I enjoy. I enjoy just like I said, meeting new people, talking to interesting people, having conversations. I've always enjoyed just having very interesting conversations with folks.
Right. So if we go back to the formula, right? So yep. We talked about right now from the P perspective, the pain. The pain is, if you said, playing it back, that if you were behind on your other two projects, you wouldn't even be worried about the show. But there's not a burning platform right now to do the show, despite the benefits, which are wonderful. Connecting with people, as you say, you have two wonderful stories. So let's go to the other side of the scale. So when we talk about the F, which is the fear, which you said, you have a constant fear of failure.
No, that's my motivation.
That's your motivation. So, but there's a fear element, which you called out. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
The constant fear of failure?
Well, let me rephrase that, because we're doing this in the context of you not producing content.
Right.
And haven't for a month. So it me asked it differently. Is there a fear associated with tipping the scale and putting your focus on the show?
There's no. I mean, there's the only I don't know. Fear is such a strong word, because I don't fear. I don't know. Maybe if I'm not doing these other things that I do, and again, I think you know, partly for me is I've for many years I've always built my work around things that I want to do, things I'm interested in doing and that I enjoy doing. I don't ever want work to feel like work, and I feel like something I always say is like, if you hit the snooze alarm more than a couple times in the morning, it's time to change jobs. Like, you shouldn't dread going to work. Like, right. It's like being in a bad relationship, you know, you just gotta do something different. So I love the things that I do, and I love the people that I work with, and the stuff that I always say it like this, the stuff that I get to do.
Yeah.
Like, to me, working is like, I get to do that stuff, and that's cool.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, I guess the fear would be really, you know, my fear is falling behind on that other stuff more so than it is falling behind on the show.
Yeah. And fear, you know, you kind of went back and forth with the word, you know, it's a natural human reaction. Right. It's all natural. And it's only it's a presence of that. There are some danger, some threat, some harm. Right. So, you know, for you and for your audience, it's OK to be, you know, see a threat or see some harm, hence the word fear. So I appreciate you kind of digging deep on that one. So talk about effort.
How so?
So when we think about going, playing this back, right?
Yeah. So when I think about the effort, so right now, here's a great example. And I teased this. I even promoted it weeks ago, and I haven't done it yet. But there's a show that I have, kind of a show topic I have that is chambered right now around minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to do this around minimum wage is because I am of the belief that we should not have a minimum wage. Like, it should just be abolished. I think there's more negatives than positives that come from having a minimum wage. And it basically eliminates competition. I think we could close the pay gap if we didn't have minimum wage. I think it gives businesses basically just a baseline that they can use to underpay people for work. I think at the end of the day, it does more harm than good, and I want to abolish it. But now I need to confirm my suspicions. And that means doing some research. That means, you know, looking through some research articles and looking for studies and you know, basically putting some meta-analysis together. In fairness, to compare and contrast, right? Because the other side of the argument would be that the minimum wage does benefit and it does good. And so if I'm going to be honest about, you know, as a researcher, right, if I'm going to be honest about really examining the issue, then I've also got to look at what I don't kind of internally suspect. So I got to look for all the evidence around that. It's going to take some time. I mean, it's a couple hours of going through and digging through and finding things. And I've started on that path a couple times and I keep finding this very interesting stuff. And I'll give you an example. So I found some very interesting dialogue around corporations and the establishment of corporations, and then which led into, you know, America has always been built on the rules of corporations, even going back to the states and the territories that first established here in the United States. And you look at the state of Massachusetts, and the state of Massachusetts was initially formed from the Massachusetts Trading Company, which was an organization that used to do, you know, trade on the East Coast. And I go down these rabbit holes and I find out all these interesting facts of things, and that our policies and procedures that, you know, basically our codes of conduct that we see in our corporations today, were initially the kind of rules that were established for early colonies that came to the United States from these trading organizations that would come over, you know, to America and trade, and they would leave their people here and they would set up housing and all this other. And basically the code of conduct was kind of the rules of the land. It was the how the laws initially got established. So I go down this stuff and I'm like, okay, I was supposed to be, you know, I was supposed to be checking out minimum wage, and now I'm looking at corporate personhood and the development of corporate personhood and how we got to where it is. So
your energy, I have to acknowledge something. Your energy level, when you explain that, I mean, in your body language, I mean, you were smiling like this is your, that's your thing, man. No, seriously. I need you to really know that that's your thing. Another session for another day. But here's what I want to play back for you, because I don't know if you know you did this, right? This is not Danielle slapping you on the face and saying you did it. This is you. I'm playing it back. You have a huge interest in this minimum wage. Actually, you brought it up the last session, and I think we talked before.
Yeah, and I still haven't done it.
Knock it off. Knock it off, okay? Because another session for another day. Your self-talk, dude. We're going to knock it off, okay? So minimum wage. You said that there's a lot of research that needs to happen to make this show come to life, right? Some meta-analysis, right, that needs to be done. So that's the effort. However, you don't want to fall behind on these projects that you have in the pipeline, which you're thinking is going to be about a good 2 to 3 weeks of heavy lifting. However, the benefits of doing this is just profound. I mean, I've met people from all over the world. You know, I met, you know, doing the Mariachi show and you know, I got these links. Man, I've seen so many things come out of what I'm doing. Those benefits are great, Danielle. Oh, I'm conflicted. But you know what? I just don't have the time, because I have these projects that need to be delivered within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I need to do the heavy lifting. Now, here's where, when I said I was looking for the hook, we talked about, and you said this, damn, I wish I had, you know, it'd be cool to have a producer who I can just tell them what to do.
Well, actually, they'd tell me what to do.
No, because you're the client. I tell them what to do, and you said, and I listen to what they have to say too. But what I'm calling out here, Ben, and playing back for you, you have a very narrow piece of work to be completed that you're very passionate about. However, the current state, right, has a lot more weight on you getting it done, which according to you, your priorities, that is priority. Your what you're doing in the wine industry. So my question is this. Well, before I ask my question, playing that back to you, how is that hitting you? What are you thinking about? What comes to mind?
This is gonna sound terrible. What comes to mind is I need to get back to my time management. I feel like, you know, as I'm listening to the replay, I'm like, I don't know, maybe I do have time and you're just sloughing it off doing other things that are not important, like going down rabbit holes of corporate personhood rather than looking at minimum wage. And, you know, but then again, I mean, it's not as if I'm like sitting around doing nothing. I'm constantly moving something forward. And I've been hitting my deadlines on the other stuff. So I feel good about that. It's just the other stuff right now is just it is just taking a lot of time, and I'm not complaining about it. I don't mind the time, but
Let me ask you this. Why did you say it was going to sound terrible? You prefaced what you just said that it's going to sound terrible. Why is it going to sound terrible?
Well, because, when I think about why something isn't getting done. So here's the thing. I very much own the things that I say that I am going to take on and handle. Like if I commit to something, I don't care if it's, I said I was going to show up this weekend and help you move a couch. If I said I was going to do it, I'm going to do it. Even if I get up that morning and I don't feel like it, I'm not going to flake out. I'm going to do it because I said I would. And there's something to living up to your commitments that you have to have that. So big or small, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So that's it. Like that's the root of it.
So question. And I want to phrase this right. And you got me now.
Oh, don't worry about phrasing it right. Just say it.
If I said to you, Ben, well, let me say it. You know what? Screw it. You have a good way of committing to others and not committing to yourself. Hold on.
Okay.
Stop the press. You said when we started this conversation that you're going to go after topics that interest you.
Yep.
But you ain't getting it done.
Well, no, because there's other things I got to get done.
But if I needed my furniture moved, or if your company needed some projects completed, well, damn, you're showing up with bells on.
Yeah. Yes.
But you're conflicted because you can't commit to yourself.
Okay. And here's the thing. First of all, if someone were to ask me to help them move this Sunday, I probably would say no.
I can't. You have other stuff to do.
Because I got other stuff to do. But the other thing, Danielle, is those other things, you know, a remark I often tell people when I say I take my laptop everywhere, even on vacation, and they go, why do you take your work laptop on vacation? And my response is always, because I wouldn't be on this nice vacation if I wasn't doing the work that I did. And and so that's just it. Like I will, somebody is paying for my time, focus, energy, and effort. And they're giving me something tangible for that. And I will honor that commitment mm-hmm. by making sure that I meet their expectations on it. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, this, and I may sound terrible for being this way, but, you know, often people say, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness. But it sure as hell can buy you a hell of a research team to examine the problem.
Yeah.
So exactly. I'm not, you know, it is a motivator for me. And it is what helps to, you know, build a financial security it helps you to reduce the worry for things.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to do the things that I love doing because of it. And I do the things that I'm doing outside of the show are things that I love doing anyway. So like, I'm not going to ruin that good thing just because I want to go after something that doesn't have, it's doesn't earn me like, so two things motivate.
I'm not going to let you off the hook with what you're getting ready to say.
Well, because it doesn't make me money.
Bingo.
Right. But it does make me happy. Okay. And those are the two things.
Those are your other things.
Yes. But, you know, the other things have both qualities. This one only has one.
Okay. Okay.
So it's only got half credit.
So you got happiness and the cash.
Exactly.
Okay. Why are you bothered?
Why am I bothered that it's not getting done? Because I made a commitment to getting it done.
Who? To who?
To me. nobody else has asked me to do it. And people probably scratch their head and wonder why I do it. But because it's fun, because it's entertaining, because it's one of those things that's, you know, again, you either, you do stuff for money or you do stuff for happiness.
Yeah. So, cause I know we're bumping up against, you know, our hour here.
Yes.
But I would want to know, what would life be like if time wasn't an issue?
You know, funny story. There's a drug called, it's not Prevagen, but it sounds like Prevagen. It's a drug that actually turns off your desires to sleep and allows you to work for many, many hours straight, way past 24, without the desire to sleep. And there was a time in my career, not any time lately, there was a time in my career where I actually was like, you know, that's not a bad idea.
And it sounds like you don't need the drug. You're the one that said you can work until 4 and 5 in the morning. You forget that you were working.
I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. Like, I'm not advocating for the use of substances, legal and otherwise, to harm yourself. You know, and those things have never been my thing. But you know, I will say that, you know, there was, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Cause like 60 Minutes, like, did this whole report on it a while back. And, it was intriguing. I mean, It was like, you know, when you've got a ton of stuff going on, if you could crank out more hours in the day. So,
you know, Warren Buffett said that. He's like, if he could buy anything in the world, he would buy more time.
Absolutely.
But my question to you is, and I go back, if time weren't an issue at all, and your commitments weren't an issue, what would you be doing?
What would I be doing if time wasn't an issue?
And your commitments weren't an issue. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Don't be quick to answer.
So one of the things that I continue to love doing is working with entrepreneurs and working with, you know, small business owners. Like one of the things that I've desired to do, but haven't really wanted to take the financial risk of doing, and again, it's a time commitment thing, is finding small businesses that are run poorly, investing in them and investing in the people who own them, primarily, taking a part ownership stake in it and helping improve the operations, the sales, the management of the organization. Like you find a, whether it's a restaurant or a product company, something where you got people who are very passionate about it, but running a business really isn't their thing, but they're really good at what they do. I would love to get involved in doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
If time wasn't an issue, but like that is a huge investment in time.
Yeah. But we're not talking about time. We're not talking about anything other than just utopia, North Star.
Yeah. So, because to me, like the, and again, and I think this is a lot of what drives me wanting to teach and work with students. You know, in my background, grew up in Central California, you know, didn't have parents who, you know, went to college or worked in corporations, you know, stuff like that. Kind of learned working in corporate America while in corporate America.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily, you know, have, you know, I didn't go to college right out of high school. I was never a part of any fraternities, never pledged anywhere, never did the 4-year college experience with the dorm room and all that stuff. You know, just kind of really, you know, worked for all of that stuff. And then too, I mean, you know, my parents never went to college. So it, when I think about the fact that, you know, I grew up in Bakersfield, California, well, scrappy, not desert town, but practically, and went from working as a temp at Coca-Cola, making $5.50 an hour, to what I've done, I firmly believe anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And so, like that, that's what drives me. Like I want people to be able to do well.
Yeah.
And I think that they can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it.
And so here's my last question for you, unless something else comes up. How many people so far have you influenced? Or how many people in your tribe, circle, in your span of control are doing well because of what you've done?
You know what? I have no idea. I don't really ever, ask, and I would think it would be zero.
Why? Help me understand why you think it would be zero. See, I thought it was the last question. Why zero, Ben?
Because it goes back to that whole thing of I don't necessarily think that I'm particularly smarter than anybody else, that I know more than other people. I do think that I have a motor on me that I'll work harder, I don't know, maybe longer than other people. You know, my whole thing is like, if you can't be smarter than someone, you could certainly work harder than them. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I don't look back and try and be like, you know, I'm just not one of those people who's like, who did I help today? You know, who's doing well because of me? I mean, that sounds like such an egotistical, pompous, asinine thing to say. Like, who's doing well because of me? I mean, I don't know. never stopped to ask.
So your energy shifted on that question. It's like you had a conversation with yourself and sometimes with me on that one.
Yeah. I asked that
for a reason though.
So here's the thing though, like what I was saying before, I think everybody is capable of doing well.
Yes.
And what I have found is that the more I was exposed to information and knowledge, the better I got at doing things. Mm-hmm. And there were people throughout my career that took the time to teach me things and allowed me to learn and even allowed me to make some mistakes. And I got better because of that. And so what I try to do a lot of times, and especially in classrooms, is pass down what I've learned so that they get that information and that experience and that knowledge faster than it took me to get it. And by that alone, hopefully better prepares them for getting into their careers and their work and their jobs. And a lot of times when I see an entrepreneur who's really good at doing something, but they just suck at certain parts of running a business, it's only because they've never really been exposed to it. And they love so much what they do, they've never spent time to really learn this other stuff. And so like, to me, it's like, the other stuff isn't hard. The operations, the project management, the managing of net metrics, the developing of metrics, understanding, you know, all of that stuff, it's not hard. It just takes a little bit of exposure and understanding of what and why and how, mm-hmm. and then people get better. So that's if time wasn't an issue, I'd love to go help more people understand that.
Yeah. You know, we went probably around about a huge circle. Because I planted a seed earlier in our session, and I'm bringing it back up, and it's intentional. We talked a lot about, you know, your background and what you've done and your span of control and influence. And in the context of that, we went down a path of exploring why you're not producing content, and we went through the formula. You said something that that brought a pause for me, and you said, I'm not there. And we were talking about you in the wine industry, and he's like, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. And you say, I'm working, and I'm not there. That keeps hitting me in my head.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Danielle. You have to understand, I'll never be there.
Guess what? Newsflash, we never will be there. What the hell is there? What is there?
It occupies a... there is kind of like money. You set a benchmark for yourself and you say, if I only had this much, then everything would be better. And then you get there and you realize
it's not enough.
It's not enough. And you constantly are chasing a little bit more, because if you just had a little bit more, then you could do this next thing that you wanted to do. And for me, learning is kind of that way.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be there. My God, I hope I never feel like I'm done.
Yeah, but I just want to know, what are you learning about yourself through this? Because we talked about a number of things. Are you learning anything new about yourself just from this conversation?
I am learning that it is very weird to be talking so, like these are things that I just don't put out there. Like these are conversations I've had with friends and stuff like that, but these aren't things I think if, you listen to the show, I think if you, even have maybe even worked with me some, you're probably hearing some things you might not have heard before because we're not talking about work. That what's interesting is that in work mode, I keep it to the business, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, you never sit down and talk about, you know, why do you think this or why do you think that? And I think, you know, there are some fundamental beliefs that I have that are just kind of unwavering when it comes to the kind of work that I do and the things that I do and why I do stuff. And, you know, what is striking me is that I make these commitments to doing things that are completely arbitrary. Like there's no one saying that I have to do this, but I feel this drive to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there are other people. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this type of a show is I know there's other people out there who have these, you know, passions and desires for doing things that, you know, their friends and their family are like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know it's not important to you, but it's important to me. And, yeah. I think those things shape your success, right? Mm-hmm. And I always talk about, like, you got to follow things you're passionate about. You got to do things that you love. Like, don't do work that you don't enjoy. All of that stuff. So I guess what I'm learning from you is that these conversations are very awkward and sometimes uncomfortable. But I think they're necessary to have. And did we talk a lot about the show today? No. Hopefully we'll.
Oh, did you hear? Did you hear the shade in that? No.
Well, but again, these coaching sessions are not all, yes, we are going to get into the show, and especially as things get more activity starts to become of that. But this is also what I hope people take away from this. And is it weird that I want people to take something away more so than I want to take something away? That's probably maybe something for
another topic for another show. This is another topic for another show.
I care that you got something out of it. It's okay if I didn't get anything out of it. No, I don't take that the wrong way, by the way. I didn't mean that the way.
Or anyone else is listening. Don't. This is Ben having a conversation with himself right now.
Yeah. I do that a lot. Welcome to my messed up head. I want people to, kind of go through this with the full understanding that there's a population of people out there, by the way, who think this is absolutely ridiculous.
And it's okay.
Totally. Like
I sleep well at night.
I'm fine with that. You know, it's funny. I was looking at my YouTube videos recently and there were a couple thumbs down on some videos, like, you know, and I was like, wow, I've got a hater. I actually was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, it's all good. Yay.
I'm like, hate mail. Oh, I've always wanted hate mail.
It's all good.
But
I have a t-shirt and I think I may have to gift you. And it says, I'm not for everyone. I'm going to wear it to our next session. How about that?
That is the truth. But I will say, like, the people who do, the people who do know me, know the work that I do, know what I bring. You know, I've got all the props in the world for that. As a matter of fact, fun little aside as we close here, I got an email from the founder of the company I work for. And he was like, you know, he shared a link with me to an article that it was a, he was interviewed for one of these wine publications. And he gave me a shout out in the article, like by name. And it made it into the article. And I was just like, wow, that is really unexpected. I don't work because I'm, you know, trying to get that. I just try to do the best job that I can. But it's really cool to work for people who appreciate what you bring and are you know, talking to others about it.
There is a proof point right there. I asked you whose lives or who are you impacting through what you do? And there you go. You were. look how that came up.
Yeah. Well, that's really weird. I guess so. And I totally did. My emails have just been running rampant and I should have mentioned this too, but I had a student actually reach out to me, one of the schools that I teach with, to ask me to be their advisor for a club that they're starting. Nice. And what really excites me about it is that it is a female business leaders club, which, you know, one of the things that I often talk about in classes is the terrible underrepresentation of female executives at the C-suite and board level. And I was like, wow, I'm honored. I'm very flattered to have gotten that request. So it's something I'm going to follow up on. And I may be reaching out to you, Danielle, because you are an awesome female business leader. I immediately, what came to my head were like all of these wonderful people that I've worked with in my past that could influence these young women to
I have goosies right now
because yeah.
Because you just, I'm gonna save it, but that's what I want. Yes, I have no words. That's awesome that you are impacting lives with what you do.
Yeah, but yeah.
Now I'm a slap. This is a slap over the face. Nope. Just receive that. Just receive that. I'm acknowledging the fact that you are impacting lives. And what I would leave with for your listeners, you know, we explored a lot of stuff today, but there's one thing that I do want to drive home, and I made the comment, is that you commit to others and not to yourself. And this platform that you've created is a demonstration of your commitment to yourself, and as well as others and whatever they take from it. So I do want to celebrate that, as uncomfortable as this may be for you right now, I'm going to woo you that this is a one good step forward in your journey. And the fact that you're learning something about yourself means that we're making some progress.
Yeah, no, I love it. I like that we're doing this. We're going to come back with a third. And, you know, something I wanted to mention, which I thought was really funny when we broke last time, is you were like, so we're still friends? And I was like, did I indicate that, like, I was irritated or anything?
Not at all. I was teasing you, Ben. And you know what? I'm learning a different Ben, and I'm digging it.
Well, cool.
I've been knowing you for years, and this person here, I'm digging this, Ben. I'll dig the other one too. You know, we can nerd out on stuff, but this one here, I'm digging it. I'm here.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'm having fun with this. So, before we drone on any longer and allow people to, you know, tap out, we'll go ahead and bring things to a close. Thanks everybody for checking out this second session. I'm very I am going to commit before we speak again, Danielle, I will at least put some topics together. I'm going to start an agenda for the next round of shows. I'll probably put like 4 weeks of shows on the calendar. And go at it that way. I said 4 weeks, four shows.
You said four shows.
Yeah, so which is about 2 weeks of content. So in the next 2 weeks, by the time we meet 2 weeks from now, you will have received, because you are on my panelist email blast, you will have received an email about not only what we're doing here, got some new panelists to bring on, and so I have some new topics, and I'm going to put all of that together and get that out so that I can not feel like I am falling behind, which I hate that. So,
congratulations.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for checking this out. And Danielle, any final words?
Good night.
If you're listening to this in the daytime, then good day.
Good day or good morning.
Good morning.
Regardless of where you are, make it what you want it to be.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one, and we'll catch you next time.